minutes to eight. For more than 5 years of his imprisonment, the Moors murderer Ian Brady had a job within Wormwood Scrubs that allowed him privileged access to other inmates, including young men in the mental health unit who were not much older than his murder victims. One later alleged that Brady had had sex with him. The information's been uncovered by our reporter Sancha Berg, who looked at files about Brady released to the National Archives.
A visit took place in a separate room in the administration building, which was supervised by AG2P Meekings.
More than 40 years ago, Peter Meekings was an assistant governor at Wormwood Scrubs. One of his occasional duties was to supervise meetings between one of the most notorious prisoners in the system, the Moors murderer Ian Brady, and Lord Longford, who campaigned for prison reform.
After Lord Longford apologised for forgetting to bring cigarettes, Brady made his first complaint, which centred on lack of educational opportunities.
I was struck, actually, by the fact that he was very disrespectful to Lord Longford, always addressed him as Frank, and also, and he was often quite rude to him as well.
This record's from Ian Brady's prison files, recently released to the National Archives. They show that Lord Longford's interventions helped Ian Brady stay in the prison hospital, where he remained for 5 years, though he wasn't a patient. Brady had his own room and for much of the time worked as a landing cleaner. That gave him contact with younger inmates, some boys under 21 from Felton Borstal, the youth prison, who were sent there to be treated for mental illness.
He takes an unusual interest in any adolescent inmates who may be located on the landing.
The first warning about Brady in the files, from September 1976, the Principal Medical Officer, or PMO. 18 months later, in March 1978, another alarm from another medical officer.
I deplore his association with young Borstal trainees. He's one of the few men to whom I would attach the label evil.
There were more warnings over the following years, from medical officers within the system, from the Independent Board of Visitors, but Brady stayed where he was. Then, in February 1981, a young prisoner came to see the principal medical officer. He wrote confidentially to the governor.
He was in a very agitated state.
The young prisoner said that
Brady had buggered him some months ago.
It was time for Brady to leave the prison, said the principal medical officer.
I never have been happy about locating disturbed boys or young men on the landing. Brady has shown rather too much interest in them in the past.
He lost his job a few months later and left Wormwood Scrubs the following year.
It's just really upsetting to look at that history, that historical sort of evidence of something appalling being allowed to happen.
Erwin James, a former inmate, now editor of the prison newspaper Inside Time, he was a Borstal trainee himself, though not at Feltham.
I saw people in Borstal who were incredibly vulnerable and mentally distressed. And they were the kids that ended up in the hospital.
Lord Longford was Brady's most regular visitor, his most public supporter, as here on the David Frost programme in 1977.
Since you mentioned Ian Brady, he never expects to be released. I mean, he doesn't expect to be. So we can view his situation, and he's being not treated at all well in prison, as a matter of fact.
The files show how Lord Longford would meet the Moors murderer, then relay his grievances directly to government. In 1975, in Wormwood Scrubs, Ian Brady went on hunger strike. He told Lord Longford he would give it up if he could stay in the prison hospital. Lord Longford went straight to the Home Secretary, Roy Jenkins, who said Brady could stay on there. Erwin James again.
I've got to take my hat off to that man's heart. He cared about everybody, and there's no way I can blame him for aiding Ian Brady's manipulation. For me, it's the Governor and the Home Office.
The Ministry of Justice wouldn't comment on the files directly, but they did say that there have been huge changes in the criminal justice system in the last 40 years and that allegations of sexual assault are taken extremely seriously and reported to the police.
Sancha Berg reporting. Well, Dr. Laura Janes is legal director at the Howard League for Penal Reform. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this is the case of one particularly prominent and notorious individual, and it dates back to the period between 1976 and 1981. But how confident can people be that this sort of thing doesn't happen today?
Unfortunately, based on my experience working as a lawyer at the Howard League for the last 15 years, where we help children and young people aged 21 and under in custody, I don't think we can be confident at all that young people are not subjected to serious sexual abuse.
Because they go into, because of the age at which they can go into an adult prison and what they are therefore exposed to.
So effectively, young people aged 18 to 21 go into, are supposed to go into young offenders institutions specifically for that age group. However, in recent years, we found that there are only two or three establishments that are confined to just that age group. Most prisons now are dual designated, both for older adults and for young adults. And in the last several years, we've had a number of young adults tell us that they've been subject to sexual abuse in custody.
What sort of things have they said?
Well, one example that I could give you is a case, in fact, that the Howard League brought several years ago, back in 2011, in relation to a learning disabled young adult. He had an IQ of 60, so 99.6% of the population can function better than him cognitively. And he suffered multiple assaults, including an alleged rape in one establishment when he was sharing a cell with an older sex offender. And in that case, he felt that the prison authorities failed to adequately investigate and deal with what happened.
So is part of that then the lack of space, the fact that we know many prisons are overcrowded, many people are sharing cells, or is it also a problem of the supervision of offenders? Because in this case surrounding Ian Brady, he ended up having a privileged role. He was given a job as a landing cleaner, and that meant that he could had a certain amount of freedom of movement.
Well, first of all, I think the thing we have to say is we don't really know very much about the prevalence and nature of the risk because nobody has looked into it. In the case of children, there has been an independent inquiry on child sex abuse for under 18s, and the findings of that inquiry are horrifying. So they found over 1,000 allegations of children being sexually abused under 18 in custody over an 8-year period. So we don't, because there hasn't been the same attention on young adults, we actually don't know the prevalence. But yes, you're right. There are 8,000 more people in prison than there is space for. That's an issue. There are various safeguards that are supposed to be in place. But of course, safeguards are only meaningful if somebody has the confidence to come forward and actually say that something has happened. And in fact, the young man I mentioned to you earlier said, in relation to that, he said, "I felt intimidated because he, the other prisoner, was a lot bigger than me. The reason I took too long to say anything, I was scared. I felt like staff won't believe me." And he said, the abuser said, not to tell anyone.
Is the answer more young offenders institutions, although we know that there are many problems with those as well?
Well, I think to take a leaf out of the Secretary of State for Justice's comment on prison, actually, there are too many people in prison. There are 82,000 people in prison at the moment, and even the Secretary of State for Justice is saying a quarter of a million people have had short sentences in the last 5 years, and it's not necessary for everyone and clearly not working. So I think more prison is not the answer. Actually, reducing the prison population and getting rid of some of the people who really ought not to be there has got to be the right answer.
But you were saying that a lot of people do end up, who might otherwise be in young offenders institutions, end up in adult prisons.
Certainly, we know now, and in fact the Lord Chief Justice said quite recently in a case that turning 18 is not a cliff edge. You don't wake up on the morning of your 18th birthday with the full attributes of maturity magically conferred on you. And so young adults really do need a high level of care, support and attention. And so if they have to be in prison, they ought to be in an establishment that is specialist and can support them in that way.
Laura James, thank you.